Welcome to the Physics Teaching Podcast, the podcast for teachers of physics made by physics teachers. Episode 18, Robin. Here we are again.
Hello, Torsia. Episode 18. How are you?
I'm great. I've had a very good week, mostly good. Because it's my light week and we had a CPD on the Monday and I only had two lessons on the Wednesday. Sorry, everyone. And I did a test.
It's been a crushingly hard week for you, I can tell. Two whole lessons. Ah, zero, dear.
But I've been very busy shipping and packing vacuum cannons.
Well done. How many have you sold?
I've lost count of the number we've sold, and we've only got two left, plus the prototype. I suspect by the time this podcast goes out, we'll be sold out, and we'll have to decide if I'm going to make some more. Now, I saw some really fascinating physics in the news this week and pinged it to you on Telegram.
I did. This was great. And an amazing picture that goes with it.
Amazing picture. Great for a podcast, I think.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's the perfect thing to do via an audio medium, isn't it? We were both so excited by this that we can't let it go.
No, it was. And we'll obviously link to it in the show notes. It was a picture of a single atom.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Visible to the naked eye. So I'm not sure if you were stood in front of it, you'd be able to see the single atom. But the photograph, which is long exposure, shows some equipment. And in the center of the picture, in the tiniest little pinprick of light, is the light being emitted from a single atom. And I just thought that was breathtaking.
And they've suspended it between a magnetic field and an electric field, is it? I guess. It's suspended in an electric field. It's an electric field. And then shine. I suspect they shone a very, very, very focused laser right on the point where the atom is. And of course, the atom is emitting photons. So you can see it on the exposure. It's remarkable.
Strontium atoms, they say, are big. Mm. Well, big. 215 billionths of a meter.
Yeah, which is enormous by atomic standards, isn't it? I
mean, huge. Just massive. Just huge. Exactly. And it's just doing, it's capturing and emitting photons. It's just extraordinary.
Yeah, wait for it, folks. The atomic vacuum cannon is coming.
No, it's a breathtaking picture. The mind boggles. I remember when I was learning chemistry at school, one of the few days a teacher turned up to my chemistry lessons, there were pictures of atoms on the wall and they were just fuzzy blobs. And I would say this is a fuzzy blob, but it's a much better fuzzy blob than the ones from the 80s.
Yes, I mean, to be honest, but some of those atomic scanning microscope pictures these days are phenomenal. It's amazing what they've done with microscopy lately, and it's just wonderful, wonderful things to look at. So, that's a really impressive and wow piece of physics, isn't it? He says in his erudite way. That's a wow piece of physics.
What's that microscope you can almost make at home? Is it a scanning tunneling microscope where you have a tiny thin filament of wire and you move it across a surface? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've heard tell of this, and I was talking to a colleague of mine the other day, and he was saying, unfortunately, that it's just the interference of it. It's so great. It's really, in theory, you can. In practice, it's next to nigh impossible. Unless, of course, dear listener, you know different. So if you do know somebody who has actually made in their shed a scanning tunneling microscope, let us know, because we'd love to hear about it.
I took a trip once to the Cavendish Labs in Cambridge, and they had one there. And I tell you, the table it was on, looked pretty solid and stable to me. It was enormous, and I suspect it was vibration proof.
Yeah,
but still, you get some. If it's worth googling, some amazing pictures of atoms in a scanning tunneling microscope.
Mm.
Now, the other news I liked was the new particle.
Yes, it's the fastest spinning charmonium.
The fast spinning charmonium particle, and that tickled me because. I mean, I teach particle physics, and it's stuff that I had never heard of until quite late in my life. And I can just see in 10 years I'm going to be having to teach about the fast-spinning charmonium particle with a spin value of 3, which I don't really understand.
Well, it reminded me, I don't know why, straight into my head popped Spinal Tap. You know, it's got a spin of 3, which means it's better than 2.
Up to 3.
and I know what they mean. Don't write in. I know what they mean by spin equals 3, but it made me laugh. It's the fastest spinning show. It's got a spin of 3.
Yeah, you see, I don't know what it means. Poor sods like me, not pure physicists like you, but I sort of slightly panicky about that coming into my teaching canon. But I'll work it out.
Yeah, it's one of its quantum values, isn't it? It's one of its quantum numbers. Quantum number of three, that's what it is.
Quantum very numbers, nice. Yeah. I was teaching quantum about them numbers, last
yeah.
week.
Yeah, really good they are, yeah.
Now, last week we were asking questions about how we support non-specialists, and I had been chatting to the Purchaser One. We've had Listener One, but Vacuum Canner Purchaser One, Paul Reynolds.
VC One.
And he... Yes, he told me some stuff he's been doing about that accidentally has been supporting his colleagues who are non-specialists.
Brilliant. What a guy.
So he agreed to chat with me about that. And I thought it was very interesting and will lead us into a discussion, I think, about how we are using the internet nowadays to support each other. So I feel I will just play you this interview and then we can chat about it afterwards.
Brilliant.
Hi, my name is Paul Reynolds. I'm a physics teacher in the Southwest. I'm enjoying physics.
Thank you, Paul, for coming on the podcast. What a start. And you are the first purchaser of a vacuum cannon, so we should have a little bit of a chat about that, I think. How's it going?
It is awesome, I tell you. From the year sevens that just look at you as if you are a mad scientist, to the year 11s that put their phones down because they wonder what just happened and want you to do it again. It is absolutely fantastic, honestly.
Excellent. Patrick will be delighted to hear that.
Oh, it's brilliant. I like challenging. I challenge the six for them on their latest mobile phones to try and get it in slow motion. And they get just about one frame or something. That's about it. So it is it's pretty quick.
Yeah. So great tool, but we shouldn't talk too long. Robin will tell me off. He thinks I've spent too much time on the Canon already.
No, you've got to see it to believe it, I think.
Right. So, I don't know if you've heard today's episode, probably not, but in that we do talk about how we support non-specialists. And you have a website, don't you? I'm very interested to hear about this website you run.
Yeah, well, my background's software engineering, but I say that in the fact that you don't need it at all for this website. It's just using the Google Suite, so they've got Google Websites. And it is just drop and drag all of the resources that I already store on the Google Drive anyway. So it just ends up being this free resource. Originally, it was just so I could print easier because school don't really like me using my Mac and I can't print from my Mac. So it's just supposed to be a bit easy for me. But then I found more and more people just kept popping onto it. I guess it's the worksheets they're interested in. But it's always been a work in progress. I can't remember the book that you plugged a couple of podcasts ago.
Ben Rogers.
Yes, and I think I've only got like one chapter in, and already I've started to go back, like I say, a work in progress, going through all my sheets and starting to put these, the support that you kind of suggest doing with it. So I've learned LaTeX, a weird mathematical language that you can chuck into the worksheet, so you've got these little examples for them to be able to work through. So like I said, it's never going to be finished. They'll probably just keep working on these worksheets forever. But yeah, the non-physicists in the department, they're always sneaking onto the site and stealing a few resources, so I think it's pretty good.
So it's when I first looked at it, I thought, oh, is this aimed at the kids? But it is very much aimed at the teachers as well.
Yeah, the Planet Physics is for the teachers, really. And then I do a similar site. They call it Planet Reynolds, so they can make fun of me, but they remember it. And that's where all the people's resources are.
Ah, I have not found Planet Physics. I've only found Planet Reynolds, because that's what your Twitter handle is.
Oh, yeah, planetphysics.co.uk. That's where all their homework is. So it's literally go to Planet Reynolds. They've got all the revision resources on there. So I just link to good YouTube clips that I see. And then, yeah, if there's worksheets, I've set them, or I'm quite into the Google Forms as well. So it's like homework I've created that marks itself. And I just send them towards that, really.
Your Planet Physics, initially you did it as resources for you, but then your colleagues started using it.
That's right. So it's just a way for me to print, really, but it's turned into a bit more.
And have you promoted it outside of the school?
Not really. I mean, stick it on your Twitter handle. And I think, this chap that I used to work with, he uses it as well. And then I think it started to just spread through word of mouth a little bit. I don't know how. I've only just started looking at the analytics. So I haven't got enough data yet to see how many people are using it.
It looks like, I'm hoping it's AQA, because it looks like you've got P1 to P15, which I think what AQA has.
Yeah, it's AQA.
Oh, there you go. I'll be pointing my colleagues at it.
Well, it'd be nice to get the feedback, because, you know, it's only my second year of teaching, so I'm not going to be perfect. But if someone, you know, just emails me and tells me there's something wrong, maybe I've got a misconception, you know, I'm always going to be updating your stuff.
Wow. So if we think about this, in episode 17, which came out today, this morning, we mull over how best to support non-specialists. And even before you've heard the podcast, Paul, you've got an answer for us. This is, you know, self-help, lots of resources, looks super useful to me.
I think it's just been, I think what's found, been found most useful is just the videos that we find, like, they're on YouTube, so I end up, you know, just downloading them so they never disappear from me. But, like, the collections of just physics phenomena, it might be just, you know, a minute clip to show the kids. But I think those are usually, they're just invaluable if you can get them up on the projector. So that's why I started chucking the videos on.
So you just pinch the video from YouTube, edit the bit you want, and stick it back up.
Yeah. So you got people like, I don't know, Physics Girl, she's brilliant. There's another YouTube channel, Veritasium. But quite often they'll go on for like 20 minutes and I can't waste that much time in the classroom.
Sure.
With them. Yeah, rip them off, condense them into the bits I want to see. And then, yeah, that's like I can do a lesson all around that sometimes.
It's like the modern version of when I started teaching, putting in the VHS tape, whizzing it forward and finding that 30-second clip that I wanted. Seems a long time ago now. Okay, well, that's brilliant. I think I would definitely suggest people go to planetphysics.co.uk if they are a non-specialist or a specialist, particularly if they're teaching AQA. It looks like it's jolly useful, and I will certainly be telling my colleagues about it. So thank you, Paul. That's really helpful. Thank you. So I found that very interesting, and it made me think about the resources I've created over the years, and I've put them in the network drive at the school and then copied them onto a disk as I've left and then never looked at it again. I've never made a website for my resources. I've put two resources on TES, free to download, that have been downloaded. I think total is 8 between them.
There you go.
Now. So I'm doing well there. But, you know, if you want an Excel spreadsheet to model the waves, I'm your man. I just thought it was a gift to the community. And it's interesting how he hasn't publicized it, but his colleagues are starting to use it.
Hmm. Yes, it's funny. It's interesting because I'm aware of quite a few different people, and I'm aware of at least three people who've aimed to produce YouTube video channels with the whole of the practical kind of a catalog, if you like, from the whole of A level, each one of them in isolation. And it does strike me that, you know, if every physics teacher does this, it's great in one way, but we do kind of, it's all a bit scattergun. TES started off and it looked really, really good. It looked like there was going to be a central repository where everybody could share their resources. And then, of course, they tried to monetize it. And of course, that sort of put an end to it, really. But we kind of almost need, don't we, a sort of a free marketplace where everybody can do exactly what they used to do on TES, which is search effectively, share all their resources, and it's a one-stop shop, and you know where you're going.
Yes, I imagine that if you created that, you would have a large amount of use, and then you'd have to monetize it somehow. But I think we do need that, but funding it, if it got big, would be a challenge. But I bet you there's many websites where physics teachers have stuck resources up on a public website. Like Andy Darville, years ago, I don't know if that's still going, he started doing that years ago. I wonder if people can tell us about them.
Yeah, that would be really good, wouldn't it?
Maybe tweet at us at PhysicsTP and tell us resources. Maybe we can have a page on our site that just gives you links to them.
Yeah, if we could just produce a central repository where you can link to all of these things. So, yeah, if you've shared your resources somewhere and we can access them, please let us know and we'll happily publicize those. Similarly, if you've got anywhere else where you go to find resources, and I know if people share them on Twitter from time to time, the trouble is that once the Twitter's quite immediate, so it's difficult to search through history. So that's a tricky thing. But if you go anywhere else you go to find resources to share them, to do anything like that, please do let us know. We'd love to know how it all works. Because again, you know, part of this podcast and the goal of this podcast is physics teachers in isolation and making sure that they have some sort of sense of connection. And this is another way that that happens, people sharing their resources and helping each other out.
Yeah, and funnily enough, today I was browsing through PTNC Digest, the news group for teachers. I think that's a IOP thing, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah.
And they have on there was physicstube.org, which I'd never heard of. And if you go to physicstube.org, it's got a rather startling interface I find quite hard to read, but it's trying to be a source for good videos on different topics.
Lovely.
I thought that was a very interesting idea.
Yeah.
Very interesting idea. It didn't work super well on my screen, but in the about, they make no apologies for it, that it's a work in progress. I can only see 3/4 of the film. But a really good idea to, you know, I will go there now if I want to see if there's a curated video on capacitors, say, which they do have.
Absolutely. It was interesting to hear Paul saying about that, you know, that the dipping in and having those 1-minute videos that you can show to the kids, it's just another thing, another way of presenting the information, a little bit of variety into the lesson, another way of accessing it. And that, of course, helps them to build up that understanding. So, yeah, videos are very, very useful. I'm hoping I'm going to get to talk to Alam Shahar, who's done some fantastic videos. So if you look up Alam Shahar, Alom Shahar, and find his videos. He's got some lovely stuff. And Alam used to work in sort of production and in video production stuff. So it's really, really professionally put together videos aimed at teachers. Really, really good. Help you out with your practical work. We'll be speaking to him soon, I hope.
Yes, his videos are excellent. Really excellent. So yeah, PhysicsTube is a good idea, but there must be others out there. It'd be really interesting. If you are running one and you've had some successes with it, please contact us. Come on the podcast. Tell us about it. And definitely if we find out more than one or two, I'll blog about it and we'll just have that as a repository of useful sites for physicists. But there must be sites out there, Robin. There must be sites out there trying to do this already. And it's just, how do you find out about them when you're the only physicist in the school?
Yeah, absolutely. Who's going to tell you? Well, that's what the Physics Teaching Podcast is here for, but you need to tell us first, so let us know.
I mean, there's Talk Physics, isn't there, at the IOP?
There is Talk Physics at the IOP, and very popular it is too, yeah.
And I'd not heard of that until I started the podcast, so
yes,
pretty embarrassing, really.
It's a great, it's Talk Physics, and I think, to be fair, the Institute admit this, it's a little bit clunky because it's kind of grown quite organically over time. So there's a lot of groups to wade through and things like that, but it is being in the background. People are starting to think about how it's going to be repurposed and repackaged to make sure it's fit for use. But at the moment, you know, please bear with us while we get it sorted.
Yeah, there's also the forum on our website, which I'm going to shutter because no one has used it.
Oh,
it was a good idea at the time. Quick to set up. I think one person registered, and only because I begged him to. So I'm missing it. I'll remove that from the website in a week or so, and maybe we can bring it back another day.
Yeah, maybe Ethel can leave a message.
Yeah, lovely Ethel. When we got a million listeners in, I think if you look at the exponential now, that's in 96, then maybe we'll open the forum again.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, talking about that, we look at our secret graph now, and it doesn't look super exponential anymore. So we need a new T-shirt, Robin, and we've tossed around a few designs.
We've tossed them around, indeed.
And you tried to persuade me that you wanted to give it to your wife for your anniversary, and I, for once, smelt a rat and didn't believe you, which I'm very proud of. So the T-shirt I suggested after talking to you was a capital T and a capital P squared.
Yes.
And we thought that looked nice.
It looks very new.
But then my daughter pointed out that that would be the physics podcast. No second T. She said we needed brackets.
I think she's right. I think she's right, yes.
I think she's right.
It's true, we do. We need open brackets, capital T, capital P, closed brackets, superscript 2. Yes, absolutely. I think that's what it's going to have to be.
So my daughter, number one, who actually listens to the podcast and is an avid listener, pointed that out. She also pointed the mistake where I thanked someone by the wrong name. So sorry, Elizabeth, for that when we talked about the CERN experiment. There's so many Elizabeths and Catherines in my family that's not surprising, but still I'm very sorry.
I do like that your kids are obviously much more invested than mine are, because my daughter suggested to me that we have the one with a pickaxe and a spade, and I said pickaxe and a spade, yeah, right couple of tools. I thought that was a little unfortunate, to be honest, but there we go. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's
harsh.
Harsh,
wasn't it? Exactly. Yeah, kids, eh? Kids.
So I also noticed that I'm starting to use Twitter more. Mm. Now, I knew nothing about Twitter when we started on this journey. Mm. I really had avoided social media. I really don't like Facebook. But the engagement with Twitter has been excellent. And through following all the people I have followed and we have followed in our shared @PhysicsTP Twitter account, I came across @ChatPhysics. Have you come across that?
Is this the same as #ChatPhysics? Is that the...
Yes, I believe the @ChatPhysics runs it, and then #ChatPhysics is how you interact with it.
Ah, that's good. That gives me the link now, because I have come across the #ChatPhysics, whatever it's called, hashtag, and that's great. So that seemed a really good idea. And is it a scheduled chat?
It's a scheduled tweet time, and I am in touch with the founder of it, Fabio Di Salvo, at FabPhysics, with a great Twitter handle.
Hello, Fabio.
And I'm hoping to get him on the podcast soon so he can tell us more about it. But to summarize, it appears to be, and sadly for me, it's just when we're getting ready for the podcast, so I'm never around to re-engage with it. It's 7 till 8 o'clock on a Thursday night. And you go on Twitter and they ask questions and people give answers. And honestly, the last week I looked at it, I think it was the first formal week, I just wanted to hug the people giving the answers. We should be writing the curriculum. The teacher should be writing the curriculum. I love you physics teachers. Some of the answers on #ChatPhysics last week just made me so happy.
It's brilliant. I remember I saw a tweet one day, and I wish I could remember the name of the guy, and I can see his picture. Anyway, you're a lovely guy with a nice beard. Anyway, he just put out a tweet and he said, "Morning, everybody. Does anybody need some help with the physics they're teaching today?" Isn't that great? Lovely. And yeah, there's a great community there. So people vilify Twitter a lot because there are trolls on it and there are idiots and there are, you know, people having futile debates and creating false dichotomies all over. But for teachers helping each other, for teacher CPD, is absolutely brilliant. And there's a load of great people to follow. And you'd really struggle not to find somebody who you'd be interested in following and hearing about on Twitter. So yeah, do please use it. And you're absolutely right about the folks who are on there giving their time, giving their knowledge, helping out other teachers, giving them encouragement. They're all of them heroes. It's brilliant.
It never occurred to me that Twitter was somewhere you would go to get support for your teaching or just share ideas and share knowledge. All you hear is, you know, it's the classic thing. All you hear is people flaming. I think last week the question, I can't remember it off the top of my head. It was something like, what is the purpose of Key Stage 3 physics?
Yes. Yes.
And I believe passionately that's about awe and wonder and the thrill of science and practical. Have fun. Mm. And that is not what I see in schools. And nearly everyone was saying that. I was thinking, oh my God. Oh my God. I love these people.
It's sort of become the extended GCSE now, hasn't it? And it's sort of, which is where it's going. Although I was pleased to see that Ofsted were trying to put the kibosh on that the other day. And they were saying, if we go into schools and see people doing effectively a 5-year GCSE, we're not going to be impressed. So I think that's a good message to go out there. But
Hang on. You agree with Ofsted?
I do. I agree with it. Well, you see, the thing is that they're at the point at the moment where they're making the kind of the vague signals as to what they are looking to find evidence for in their next incarnation of inspections. And it's kind of when you're doing high level stuff, it's very easy to do the right thing. But when you try and turn that into what I'm going to go and look for in a school, that's where it all seems to go wrong a lot of the time. So I'm watching with care. But if you care about this sort of thing, by the way, the Ofsted have a consultation out at the moment. They've got a draft of their new framework for inspection, and you can go and comment on it. If you really think that Key Stage 3 science should be like X, Y, and Z, go and tell them.
Oh, I might. I think we all should.
Yeah, absolutely we should. Of course we should. That's what the consultations are for. And they always bemoan the fact that nobody ever takes part in them. So yeah.
Yeah, well, let's go swamp it. Swamp it, physics teachers. Let's swamp it with sensible working suggestions. I do remember someone telling me that they felt that Ofsted were doing this as a job because they were making a lot of their decisions before they arrived based on data. And if they did that, the next logical step was to give up and just look at the data and not have any employees. So it seems to be they're pushing away from that now.
And cynical Robin, and you know how that is a very rare occurrence for me that cynical Robin makes, and you know how rare that is, but cynical Robin might say that the new inspection framework is an attempt to justify their existence by saying that they have to go and examine the curriculum, because the curriculum, you see, is this mystical beast that can only be judged by Her Majesty's Inspectorate. So we will see. We will see.
Yeah, and at this point in the podcast, I feel I should say my name's Thomas. I'm a part-time A-level only physics teacher, and I'm joined by Robin, who works for the IOP, but all his opinions are his own. Yeah, he is not a mouthpiece for the IOP.
I'm not a mouthpiece for the IOP in any way, shape, or form. And in fact, the IOP are carefully looking at the Ofsted consultation in a more official capacity, so they'll respond to that as well.
We can wind it up there. We may find a new T-shirt on the shop.
Physics teaching podcast underpants. That's what I'm waiting for. The nice pair of boxer shorts with, you know, some crude double entendre on the front.
Well, Robin, you can find a vendor who does personalized underpants that works with WooCommerce. I am all over it. Well, Robin, it's been a pleasure.
It's, as always, it's been lovely and fantastic and really, really interesting. And I think it's always amazes me that the different directions we get drawn in. And we just got drawn into this idea of the web and how it can help and what it's being used for and Twitter and all those sorts of things and how they can help with teacher professional development, which is really interesting.
Yes, and if you want to share some with us, please email us, contact@thephysicsteachingpodcast.com. There's a contact form on our website, the.physicsteachingpodcast.com, or, of course, Twitter @physicsTP. Or do you remember the Instagram handle?
No.
@physics_teaching_podcast. And we have more followers this week. No. We're well into double figures now.
Instagram, isn't it marvellous? I don't know.
Marvelous.
I remember when all this was fields.
Right, thanks a lot, Robin.
Take care, Tom. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Physics Teaching Podcast with Robin Griffiths and me, Thomas WP. Special thanks to Paul Reynolds for his time and for telling us about his website, planetphysics.co.uk. We're always looking out for people to interview, so if you do want to share something, get in touch. Contact@thephysicsteachingpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you next week.